Home for breaking news on your favorite teams. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins, brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
Okay, big hockey game starting soon here. Golden Knights and the Stars in Dallas. Dallas getting Jamie Benn back from suspension. Vegas was up 3-0 in that series. Dallas trying to force Game 7 on Wednesday. Regardless of the outcome tonight, I almost said irregardless just to annoy people, but I decided not to be that annoying that early in the show. Regardless of the outcome tonight, the Stanley Cup Final will start on Saturday, and we will have all the games for you right here on 630 CHED. They're all going to start at 6 o'clock, so you will hear the Stanley Cup awarded on CHED at some point in the first couple of weeks of June. There's only 1 month of June. In the NBA tonight, pretty big Game 7 there. That one starts in about half an hour. Miami at Boston. This was the series that Miami, as the underdog, led 3-0, and now Boston has come back to force Game 7. There have been, what, four successful 3-0 comebacks in the NHL? There has never been one in the association. This is just the fourth time a team has forced Game 7 after being down 3-0. I wonder when the other ones were, you're thinking. Well, hey, I have the answer. 1951 NBA Finals. Rochester Royals defeated the New York Knicks. 1994 Western Conference second round. Utah Jazz over Denver Nuggets. 2003 West first round. Dallas Mavericks over Portland Trailblazers. So the Knicks, Nuggets, and Trailblazers coming up just short in their comeback attempt. We'll see if the Celtics can finish it off tonight at home. Pretty exciting. Great finish to that game on Saturday night with Boston getting that kind of tap-back rebound with a tenth of the second left to win that one. So we'll keep an eye on both those games tonight. Pretty exciting stuff. I was all proud of myself earlier today because I watched the movie Election with Reese Witherspoon and Matthew Broderick. And then I found out that that's not the type of election that's being discussed today. So huge fail on my part, Kellen.
That's okay. I was listening to Alice Cooper all day today.
Does Alice Cooper have any songs about elections?
Yeah, he had one in the early 70s called Elected.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. We'll play that at some point tonight.
Sure.
There's no naughty language in that one, is
no,
there?
No, that's a very clean-cut, good old rock song.
Nothing like a clean-cut Alice Cooper. Yes. No, that was Ozzy Osbourne that bit a bat.
Yes.
Alice Cooper just does a lot of sort of macabre stuff on
Alice
stage,
Cooper,
right?
Yeah. Alice Cooper gets decapitated on stage once in a while.
I saw Alice Cooper in the summer of 1999 in Saskatoon at Sask mm-hmm. Place. I was doing my practicum at Global Saskatoon, and I saw Alice Cooper, and yeah, there was no blood or fake blood or anything like that. He did fire confetti into the crowd, and one of the people I was with said if this was the 70s or early 80s, he would have been spraying people with blood, perhaps. Mm. By the way, I did not plan to talk about this. Kellen brought up Alice Cooper, and that got me going on that. So we will play Elected at some point tonight by Alice Cooper. And yes, the film Election, pretty good movie, starring Reese Witherspoon and Matthew Broderick. Kind of dark humor. It may not be for everybody. Not the topic tonight. So here's what's happening tonight for coverage. It's me until 8 o'clock talking about stuff today that nobody cares about because there's a huge news story. But we're going to try to do our best to make you care because, well, not make you. Like, we're going to force you to care, but we're going to try to get you a little interested. The Elks did play. I was at that Stingers game on the weekend yesterday, just a huge collapse. And we thought, how can we tie this all together? How can we do something that's relevant out of this relevant? That's a very rare animal. Something that's relevant to what's happening in the news today. So we between 7 and 8, we have two former CFLers who went into politics. So I thought, okay, let's see who we can get on. So Dave Campbell and I put our heads together, and we came up with a couple of gentlemen who I think are going to be pretty interesting to talk to and tell you about transitioning from football to politics. So that's how we're going to do election-related stuff today. We're going to do one other election-related thing for fun, and you can participate here, 780-496-0063. That's the hotline presented by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. You can email the show, insidesports@630ched.com. You can send me a message on Twitter, at Reid Wilkins, R-E-I-D-W-I-L-K-I-N-S. Which Edmonton sports person, so player, coach, manager, I guess even media member like me, which Edmonton sports person do you think would make the best politician and why? Yeah, you have to have an and why, and it doesn't have to be serious. We may give out a canned ham T-shirt if anybody really makes me laugh. 780-496-0063. Which Edmonton sports person, we can say past or present, would make the best politician and why? That's how you can participate in the show tonight. By the way, I should mention this in all seriousness. The polls close at 8 o'clock. I know you probably know that, but I thought I should say it just in case you want to get out there and vote and you're not sure when you're going to be able to do it. You got to do it by 8 o'clock today. Then our special election show will start here on 630 Ched, and you can also get it on global television. So the Elks played on Saturday afternoon against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Preseason football, always a lot of players on the roster. The Bombers won it 25-23. They got up on the Elks, and Edmonton fought back. I mean, the Elks had an impressive third quarter. I know it's quote-unquote only preseason, but I got to mention this. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers ran two offensive plays the entire third quarter. I'll say that again. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers ran two offensive plays the entire third quarter. So the plays that were initiated by the Bombers, they kicked off to start the half. They had a two-yard rush and an incomplete pass, and then they punted. So two special teams play and two offensive plays. The Elks had a drive that lasted almost 9 minutes to start the third quarter. Then they got the ball back with about 4.5 minutes left and scored on the first play of the fourth quarter. So that was pretty encouraging. Now, at that point of the game, most of the first stringers were no longer in the game, but quarterback Trey Ford was able to orchestrate that drive for the Elks, who I think are showing a little bit of promise here. I know these games don't count in the standings. We'll see what it's like when everybody's playing the first stringers for an entire game. But building on what he did last year, I thought Kevin Brown looked pretty good at running back. Now, the main guys only got three series. Most of them only played in three series for the Elks. So the stats aren't going to be incredibly impressive, but Kevin Brown, well, actually, Brown's stats are incredibly impressive. He had four rushing attempts for 55 yards, including a 33-yarder. So even if you take out that long one, he had three for 22, which is pretty darn good. He was good last year when he joined the team midseason. He's not a huge guy, but he's good at taking contact and maintaining his forward power and getting yards after being hit. He had one run where he spun around and almost looked like he disappeared for a while and then came back. So Kevin Brown was very good at running back. And the other running back who played pretty much the rest of the game, Shannon Brooks, solid day for him. And he also played well on Monday in Calgary, 13 carries for 72 yards. That was a 5.5-yard average, had a 13-yarder. So that was good. So the running back position looks pretty solid. And I guess if you're saying the running backs look pretty solid, you know, you're probably speaking positively about the offensive line as well. So that's something to keep in mind. The receivers, we talked a lot about them. We didn't see a ton of the first stringers. The big signing from the offseason, Eugene Lewis, just caught one pass. The only time he was targeted, had one reception for 15 yards. Stephen Dunbar Jr. is there. He was targeted, incompletion. Kyron Moore was targeted, incompletion. Dylan Mitchell, who we saw last year, two catches on three targets for 14 yards. But we know they have some guys who are going to be able to play. Gavin Cobb, who was on Inside Sports about 3 weeks ago, he joined me in studio, three catches for 31 yards. He played later in the game. CJ Sims, just a little guy out there, two catches for 50 yards. And Maurice French, the guy with the French with two Fs at the beginning of the name, six catches for 43 yards. So I think the receivers did a pretty good job as well. Quarterback play, Corney didn't play a lot. He went 6-for-9. Trey Ford went 8-for-9. I'm surprised to see that when I checked the stats. Say Kyle Oxley threw the ball a lot, 15 out of 22. To me, Trey Ford is more dangerous with his legs, and he showed that a couple of times in that drive he led in the third quarter. Cornelius is going to be the guy. We really saw on Saturday the Stephen McAdoo offense. And we've seen that in Edmonton before. We saw it in Saskatchewan when he and Chris Jones were there. McAdoo, the offensive coordinator for the team. I've been somewhat critical of that over the years, and I'll go back to when they were here at 14 and 15. It can be a little, I don't even know if conservative is the right word, because of course they're trying to score points and move the ball and get first downs. To me, it's an offense that relies a lot on high percentage plays, which is great, but it relies a lot on quickness and timing and getting yards after the catch and maybe fooling the defense, which is fine. That's football. But the thing that concerns me about it is that there's a lot of passes that only go 3, 4, or 5 yards down the field. And if the defense is on you, 2, 3 yard passes doesn't do you a lot of good. Now, having said that, hopefully the Elks have a good running game and they'll be able to thrive off those high percentage passes. And yes, they did throw deep a couple of times. But there's, to me, I've always liked in the CFL, and I know you have to diversify, but I've always liked those passes that go 10 to 15 yards down the field. You know, find that spot of the defense. The ones in which if the receiver gets tackled as soon as he catches the ball, it's still a first down. And I don't know if this offense is going to do a lot of that, but we'll discuss this with Dave Campbell when he's on the show a little bit later on, because I don't think he sees it the same way that I do. The Elks defense gave up a couple of big plays. I think they're going to have more speed amongst their starters on defense. Hopefully the D-line's a little better than it was last year. You got to get pressure in the CFL, but we'll talk more about that with Dave too when he joins us after the 6:30 news. Then yesterday I went to the Edmonton Stingers game. I went with Cam Moon, so I was glad to hang out with Mooner first of all. And I saw something in terms of something I've witnessed in person on television. I would have witnessed certainly comparable things, but in terms of something I've witnessed in person, one of the worst blown leads I've ever seen, or I guess comebacks if you're looking at it from a Calgary perspective. But I live in Edmonton. Why would I look at anything from a Calgary perspective? So, and I really like the CEBL. We had Reed Clark on the show last week, president, owner, and GM of the Stingers. The league has done a great job. The Stingers have done a great job. They've won 2 league championships. They've done nice work with the Flair Airlines hangar there at the Expo Center. Jordan Baker, who I've known a long time back to his playing days at the U of A, he's now the head coach of the team. So the Stingers lost the first game of the year in Calgary. The Surge are a new team. And then they're home on Saturday. It's a tight game. They're tied at halftime. Late third throughout the fourth quarter, the Stingers have started to pull away. And they have the Elam ending in the CBL. And if you're not familiar with this, I really like it. This is the third year they've had it in the CBL. So the first stoppage after there are less than 4 minutes remaining, they turn off the game clock, and the winning team has to hit a target score. And the target score is 9 points more than what the leading team had when they shut the clock off. So if it's 90 to 80, the target score is 99, first team to 99. If it's whatever, 75-74, then you got to get to 84. So the Stingers were leading the game 73-57. They led by 16 points. So they got to score 9 points before Calgary scores 25. They couldn't do it. Calgary won the game 82-81. And you could sense it early in the Elam ending as Vegas scores to go up 1-0 with 16-18 left in the first. Calgary came out with nothing to lose, playing. They pressed the Stingers, and you could kind of sense right away the Stingers couldn't handle it. Jordan called the timeout after a while, and Calgary just kept chipping away, and Edmonton led 81 80, and Calgary had the ball, and a foul was called, and Calgary went to the line for two shots, and both were made, and that's how the game ended, 82-81. Just a monumental collapse, and I caught up with Coach Jordan Baker a few minutes after the game.
You guys were playing so well. How did you lose that game?
I mean, we couldn't convert some opportunities. I think we started to force things a little bit offensively. You know, it's a lot of these guys' first time playing in the Elam ending, and it adds a different dynamic to things. But, you know, as the season progressed, we'll be a little more comfortable in it. You know, it would have been nice to knock down some foul shots as well. But, you know, that's the reality. And, you know, we got a quick turnaround again for Wednesday.
Does the, I know they know how to handle pressure, but does that feeling of anxiousness kind of mount when you're not getting any points up in the Elam ending?
Well, I mean, you're down, when they're down 16 coming into it, they feel like there's no pressure on them. They can come out and play free. They start to knock down some shots. They build some momentum, right? And you know, you're starting to tighten up a little bit on your side. We tried to get them playing free-flowing basketball, trying to get some things at the rim. They had some open looks that we couldn't convert on, but, you know, we got to try to play the way we did in the first 36 minutes in the last four.
By my count, the Stingers missed at least four foul shots in the Elam ending, and this, you could feel it going Calgary's way, and they eventually pulled it out. So the Stingers start the season 0-2. They're back at it on Wednesday at 7:30 at the Expo Center, taking on the Niagara River Lions. But that was a big gut punch to see the Stingers lose that game. Okay, 780-496-0063. We got a lot to discuss tonight. Like I said, Dave Campbell and I are going to get into it about the Elks a little bit, and I'm happy to hear from you as well. It's Inside Sports on 630 CHED.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta's precedent-setting injury lawyers.
Which Edmonton sports person would make the best politician and why? Kellen, what do we have?
We have an early clubhouse leader. We're not calling it as of yet.
Let me guess. Can I guess who it is?
Yes, go for it.
Brian Hall.
It is Brian Hall.
Of course it's Brian Hall.
It is Brian Hall, yes, for sure. Some of the responses, we got Dan saying that he picks Brian Hall. He could just tell stories totally off topic. Everyone would love it, and it wouldn't even relate to politics.
That's true,
yeah. Best personality, this is an unknown text that came in, best personality to be a politician is Brian Hall. Great hair, and he repeats every fake 3 to 4 times, so you completely understand it.
Well, that's true. You gotta repeat in radio. That's what I've learned, too.
Mm-hmm. And then we got Greg who texts in and says, Brian Hall, because he and his guy have never been wrong with the winky face. So there we go.
Oh, appreciate the winky face.
And we have some other individuals listed here, too. We've got Ryan texting in and says, Daryl Mookie Mitchell. Mayor Mookie has a nice ring to it.
Mookie might be on the show this week, by the way.
Ooh,
hopefully.
We go. Excellent. And then an unknown text. We've got the suggestions for Bob Stauffer as well. We've got a couple here that says, one that says, that's easy read, Stauffer. Quite simply put, there we go. And that actually, that's from Norman of Combine, so there we go. And then we got Doug texting in that says, Stauffer. We all know he would run this province like an NHL or a CFL game, and that would maybe actually work.
Yeah, I think Bob would be more of a province manager than a politician, to use one of his favorite phrases. All right, 780-496-0063. Those were funny. Hopefully we'll get some more. Which Edmonton sports person, athlete, player, coach, media person, whatever.
Mascot.
Yeah, well, that's a weird one. Do you think would make the best politician? Dave Campbell is coming up. Don't forget, our election show starts after the 8 o'clock news.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.